Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 260 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
And this episode is sponsored by Marissa from the Vegan Next Door podcast. Thank you, Marissa.
Thank you, Marissa. Thank you.
Go check out their podcast. Today, we will be discussing part two of three parts of chapter 20 of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, Lord Voldemort's Request. So make sure that you have read that chapter and you're ready to scoot, scoot, Fozzie your way through the details. Before we begin, let's go to Megan with some weekly props.
Okay, I'm going to try to keep this a decent length. I do think that actually maybe me and you should record a bonus episode where we talk about like Cursed Child and the meetups and all that kind of stuff. But
for sure.
Yeah.
But we just wanted to, first of all, give a huge thank you and shout out to everybody who came to one of our meetups last week throughout the Pacific Northwest and San Francisco. It was so much fun. We got to meet so many more of you than I ever expected that we would. And I loved every second of it. I loved going to bookstores with you guys. I loved... Dude, shout out to our friends in Vancouver who literally just like walked the city with us. You guys were true troopers.
Introduced us to some pretty sweet stores.
Yeah. And got Canadian Kit Kats. And it was a blast. seriously, just thank you guys so much. It was so much fun. I have come home with many a books.
I heard
from all of these.
I heard okay, that listen. Catherine was not pleased.
No, it's fine.
Sarah came home with a handful of books as well. Okay.
Okay.
We all got books. I even got a book for Alana and James, and we got books for Tiff. I got a book for my mom. I got a book for my dad. It was just a trip filled with books, which actually I was thinking it would be kind of fun to do a like little haul TikTok on Swish's TikTok. So be on the lookout for that. I'm going to try my best to do one of those trendy looking book talk talks.
Oh, where they like flip the book and then like fold it back and fold it up.
Yeah.
Oh,
we'll see. And they like fan the pages.
Yeah. We'll see if I can do it.
You can do it.
We'll see.
Yeah, you can do it.
So yeah, anyway, just like shout out to everybody. It was so much fun. Like seriously, so good to meet everybody. Katie, I feel like you didn't say anything.
You said it all for me, but truly, I mean, it was like awesome meeting everyone. Thank you for dealing with me and my awkward self. I had a wonderful time. I told this story three times. This will be a third time telling this today, but yes, it was a super book trip, and we were in the airport to come home, and we got through security, and we're walking, and we passed a gift shop, and Meg goes, "Oh, I need that," and it was another book on the way home in the airport, and she bought it, and I was like, "Meg, there's no room in our bags." She said, "I'll figure it out."
I found room.
And she found room.
I'm
so
sure you did.
She was trying to shove it into a spot that it wasn't going to fit, and I was like, "Katie, you're going to bend the pages on that book, and I'm going to be very upset." And I had to ask her five times to just give it to me before she finally gave in, and she did bend the corner, so...
I'm very sorry.
Just saying.
I was trying to help us.
But yeah, honestly, Oregon might be the most beautiful place in the U.S. that I've ever been to.
Yeah.
So I cannot wait to go back. I'm so mad because on our flight home, we are, you know, airlines always overbook flights, right? They always do. Well, first of all, I've never understood why you would ever overbook a flight to Orlando, because let me tell you, every person who is going to Orlando is going to show up for that dang flight, because do you want to rearrange your Walt Disney World vacation?
No.
You're going to go. You're going to show up to the flight. Don't overbook flights to Orlando. But anyway. our flight's overbooked by 12 people. Okay. Which seems like a crazy amount. But anyway.
Yeah.
So our flight's overbooked by 12 people. And initially I got an email saying, hey, get $350 in flight credit by choosing a different flight. And we were like, no. And then we're at the airport and they're like, hey, guys, we have a flight that takes off at the exact same time but lands in Tampa. We need 7 of you and we'll offer you $1,000 in credit. And I was like, ooh, but how are we going to get from Tampa to Orlando? Like, problematic. I don't want to pay for that Uber. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Then a couple minutes later, they're like, oh, and we'll pay for a lift from the Tampa airport to the Orlando airport. And I was like, Kate, it'd be real dumb if we didn't do this, wouldn't it? And then literally the second we decided that we were going to do it, they were like, okay, we have enough people. And I was like, ugh. that's like a first class round trip flight back out to the Pacific Northwest. We should have done it.
Oh, man.
It's all right.
But anyway, we did get to see the condensed Cursed Child. I liked it, but I like the two-parter better, in my opinion.
Sames.
I mean, but it's just more detailed.
Yeah, they cut out a lot of stuff that I missed. It's like, if you didn't know it wasn't there, obviously you wouldn't miss it. But like, if you know it's there, it's kind of sad.
If you know, you know. You know?
Yeah, but we will talk more about that on a bonus episode coming out soon. But yeah, the production in San Francisco ended last week. So like, we literally got to see it the last week. But yeah. I'm glad that we saw it.
Me too.
That theater was freaking hot. Oh my God. It was so really hot.
Really?
But yeah, I think it's just like AC is not really needed that much out there. So they were just like, no AC.
Except but it was, when we were there.
It was unseasonably warm. So yeah, it didn't feel great, but it's fine. It was good. I'm glad that we saw it though.
No one had a nosebleed.
No nosebleeds to be seen.
I was gonna say, did anybody bleed?
No.
It's not a good show if nobody bleeds. Why am I like this?
But yeah,
truly, Swishers, you're amazing, and thank you for trekking out to hang out because it was a really good time.
It was.
We'll have to see if we can get like an Orlando meetup like next summer or something when I don't
have
a small baby.
That would be fun for sure. And maybe like a Cleveland one.
That'd be, why don't we ever really?
I don't know.
I know. What are we doing?
I know. Maybe we'll do that.
Yeah, why not? Well, I guess Kent is kind of like one.
True.
But,
Yeah, maybe we should go do a Dallas meetup. Okay. Make sure that you follow us on your preferred podcast listening. Yeah, I don't know why I thought I said that wrong. Okay. Your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because if you like us, then they will too. Hopefully, at least. Maybe. I don't know. You tell us. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Swish Flick Cast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/Swish Flick Cast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going and it gives you access to our exclusive Felix Files episodes, our Discord channel, our live recordings, our trivia games, our Swish swag boxes, and more. Thank you all so much for your support. We literally couldn't do this without you. Yes. We are always, always accepting Potter stories to our email or any fun things, questions, or concerns. And if you would like to send those, you can do so to swishflickcast@gmail.com.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Also, I have a request of listeners, because Swish swag boxes are essentially for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I love the merch as well. Mm-hmm. But if you have say it's a running joke that we have and you want that to be the theme of the next box. Or if you just have like a general like bookish idea, that could be the next box. Or anything within the realm of Harry Potter that we could theme around, that could be the next box. I'm getting some private messages that maybe bread should be a theme. I don't know about this.
I know, it's funny in theory, but like genuinely, like what could we make?
A bread box. I'm going to send you some yeast. We're going to get something going. I'm going to send you literal stalks of wheat.
Everyone gets a bag of flour.
Yeah, I mean, if you just want basically
that could be
a grocery
difficult for international.
True. Very true.
But honestly, like stuff like that, or like maybe who you want the next Felix Files to be about, or what topic for the next Felix Files to be about. Sometimes I'll just go and ask my friends who listen, or anybody from like the moderators to my besties, which are the moderators are my besties, like just give us ideas, because we're always looking to, you know, as much as the podcast is about like us being like just friends sitting down, but like you're sitting down with us and we want to involve you as much as we can. So send us any kind of suggestion that you want, like trivia, like what you think the next trivia should be about. The rest of this year is already planned, but next year, you know, what are we doing? Stuff like that.
Marguerite just had a fun idea, a puff pastry box where we can all make something along with Katie.
Oh,
we can all fail together?
Mouth.
Yay.
That is a great idea.
I won't be alone.
That's fun. I know, and stuff that can easily be sent internationally.
I have an idea to run with that, but we will talk about that later. Who was that? Marguerite, you said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the idea.
We could give you the things and then give you a list, a grocery list. But then, like, give you, like, the items.
Stop.
Okay, anyway.
Stop. I have thoughts.
Okay.
Thoughts.
Don't give away trade secrets.
Yes. Come on.
You do it.
Where are we? What are we talking about? Recap?
It's the recap.
Is it the recap? Oh, my God. I hurt my stomach a little bit.
All right. The trio. Officially a trio again, friends. Officially three lovely young humans who are friends again.
Finally talking again.
Yeah, Ron and Hermione are on speaking terms again. Harry's got that to be happy about. And Ginny and Dean may be broken up.
Was that a mistake?
That was totally a mistake, but it works.
Wait, what did you say?
I called them Jean on accident, but it worked. Jean no more, hopefully. And maybe Ron and Lav will also be donezo soon. I don't know. He didn't tell her that he got out of the hospital wing. She's a little mad. And we left off with Harry just getting started with another Dumbledore lesson. Harry got a little scolded.
Feels shame.
Yeah.
Shame the non-believer.
What's that from? That sounds like Handmaid's Tale.
Oh my God, it's from Charlie the Unicorn.
I don't know what that is.
Tiffany, Candy Mountain.
Candy Mountain. Oh my God.
I don't know.
Yes, thank you.
They took my friggin' kidney.
Oh, I totally forgot it's Shun the non-believer. I literally thought it was shame.
But that was fine.
Are
it
those
still work?
That's literally
YouTube. It.
Yeah, this is from when YouTube was like in its infancy,
the beginning era of YouTube, like you know, back with like muffins and
muffins?
Shoes.
Wait, do you
muffins?
Not know about Shits. Muffins or shoes?
I know about Shits.
Yeah, okay. It's Shits. The same person, and they talk about muffins.
I remember bits of glass muffin.
Yeah, exactly.
Ow.
Anyway,
whatever.
Showing my age.
Are we ready for a summary?
Yeah.
Okay. We get to hear from Hokey Pokey the house elf. Tommy Boy comes to visit Hepzibah for Borgen and Burke, and he's quite the charmer. He even magics flowers. She wants to show him some of her most prized possessions, and she gets a bit uneasy and then dies 2 days after this memory, and Hokey takes the fall for Lord V.
That was like I know what happens is sad, but that made it sadder.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about Lord V.
I know.
That was like
terrible.
That was like the Campbell's condensed soup of sad.
It truly was. What? It's like, oh, he's a charmer. She wants to show him some of her most prized possessions. And dead. Then she gets uneasy and dies.
And yeah. Then she's unalive.
And she does not make it.
And Lord V.
Oh my gosh.
Poor Hokey, man.
Vinny just changed his name to Lord V, and it works because
it does
Vinny,
work.
And that's
it
funny.
Does really work. I love that.
I love it.
Well done. Well done. Oh, Hokey. No more doing the pokey. Okay. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. So, Harry asks Dumbledore about how he had felt with Tom Riddle wanting to come back to Hogwarts and teach so soon after graduating. And, well, to be... okay, I know I just stumbled over my words there. But, like, truthfully so, like, what else are we doing after Hogwarts? You know what I mean? Like, that's really young. Like, 17 is really young. I know it's technically an adult in their world, but I would say the same thing about an 18-year-old, you know, in ours. So, like, do you have to go to more training? Like, what are we doing here? Because I don't think that there's much. Maybe apprenticeships? We don't see anybody like that at Hogwarts, though.
I feel like...
Thinking.
I don't know.
Well done. Thank you for conversing with me. Yeah. For instance, we see Tonks, like, shadows.
Yeah.
Moody. Like,
yes.
But, like, that's the only thing that we really see. I know that Dumbledore and... Elpheus Doge, like, at the time, wizards usually did, like, a trip around the world and whatnot, and that gains life experience. Yeah. and what have you, but, like, that seems to be gone out of style, so to say. So, like,
I remembered what I was gonna say, like, because my mind just went blank, you know. Anyway, what the wizarding world, I mean, there's a lot of things that the wizarding world lacks.
Yeah.
Right. But it is unrealistic for some people to, like, just be done after year 7 of Hogwarts with, like, learning. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, yes, there are definitely many professions that one can go into, mm-hmm. that you can just go into it. But, like, and I know that, like, at the end of Hogwarts, they tailor what you take, but also, like, genuinely, and I mean I hated this even thinking back to, like, when I was in high school. How does one expect a 15 or 16 year old to truly know what they want for the rest of their life? It is just mind-boggling. And I feel like that is even more of a concern in the wizarding world, because there really is a lack of, like, furthering education in the wizarding world. Like, there's definitely, like, apprenticeship, like you said, for, like, becoming an auror. But, mm-hmm. like, what about becoming a healer? And I mean, obviously, like, we don't know because we don't see it. So there might be, and I'm sure that there is, like, that's what would make sense. But, like, it would have been cool to learn about some of that going into, like, any WT classes and stuff like that, mm-hmm. of, like, okay, this is what you're going to do, but, like, these are the next steps. Because, like, that's the kind of stuff that is just so interesting to me. And, like, I think that that's why I like Half-Blood Prince so much, because it is very much just, like, Hogwarts-y.
Yeah.
But... like, I wish that we had learned more of that. Like, how do you become a healer? How do you go into law? in the wizarding world? How do you like get Arthur's job, or like, you know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. Yeah. Sorry, Katie, your hand was up for forever.
It was not forever, and it's just one of a dumb comment. But
it's not dumb.
Hermione should have become a healer, and then we could have Granger's Anatomy.
Oh my gosh.
She could be an intern.
She could have.
And then a resident.
Yep.
And then an attending.
Fellow.
A fellow, I'm sorry. Then an attending.
Yep.
Maybe chief of surgery. I don't know.
Yep.
That's a lot of school.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that is something that would have been cool to learn more about.
I agree.
Cool.
And I think it would be cool if they had like some mentorship for professors at Hogwarts. I think it'd be really neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I just like wish that there was more conversations about like what Jess suggested in Discord, like shadowing. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what Kim and Mia also said, like maybe they have more job training, more on the job training or education. Or Mia said, I suppose it seems like the wizarding world's prerequisites for jobs don't function the same way, and you just get on the job training / education.
Yeah. Like they throw you in.
Yeah, we had to do shadowing.
Yeah,
we did do some shadowing in high school. You're right. It just, oh, someone's very angry outside. I don't know if you can hear them.
I can't hear them.
Still.
It's still honking.
Oh,
just end. Okay.
Jeez.
So yeah, I don't know. I guess that's true, but like again, that's just something that I wish that we had learned more of.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that was a lot about my first sentence.
Yeah.
and you thought we weren't going to converse.
And true swish. It looked a little slim pickings there at first. She was like,
my mind just went blank. I'm sorry. I was like, I knew what I wanted to say, and then I didn't.
I'm not asleep. My mind is alive.
Yeah. You're good. So what I said before was Harry asked Dumbledore about how he felt about Tom Riddle wanting to come back to Hogwarts and teach. So Dumbledore had told him that it made him feel deeply uneasy, and he even went as far to tell Professor Dippet, or Headmaster Dippet, to not take the appointment, but he didn't give Dippet as much detail as he was basically giving Harry right now, because Dippet was very fond of Riddle, because, you know, Tom Riddle was an excellent actor and schmoozer, and nobody really knew the new him. Nope.
Schmoozer.
The real him, not the new him. What did I say? I don't know what I said.
Okay. Will the real Slim Shady please stand up?
Will the real Tom Riddle stand up? Oh my gosh. Anywho. But a lot of the teachers were really fond of Tom Riddle because, you know, he basically had a mask on the entire time. And Dumbledore wanted Voldemort to go away. Don't be in a position of power here. No, thank you. And, you know, much like how he kept himself out of a position of power at the Ministry of Magic. And I think he probably saw kind of like a gleam of what Grindelwald was in those days in Tom's eye, which probably was terrifying for him because, you know, he knew everything that went on with Grindelwald and his dream and how his dream was pretty much realized for a long time, and what he was working towards and how many people, you know, died as a result. And so that probably terrified him.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, we do not need you here. Please leave.
Here nor there.
Or anywhere.
We do not need you anywhere.
We do not need at Hogwarts. We do not need you at the ministry.
We think you're Bob Shorts.
Ah! Wait. Yes. No, yes. Okay. I was thinking BA, which is not the same.
That's Bob's apron.
That's Bob's apron. My bad. So Harry inquired about, like, what job did Tom Riddle want? And, like, he didn't already know, of course, Riddle wanted Defense Against the Dark Arts position. And at the time, it was being taught by Professor
Galatea,
let me go.
Galatea, let me go. Mary thought, I'm going to say your last name. All I can hear is the actor from Six saying that.
Yes.
Right?
Same.
His voice is so smooth. So, Professor Galetta, Mary thought, was a witch and a professor at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry from around 1895 until her retirement in 1945.
Oh my goodness.
That's a lot of years. So, from some point between the 1920s and the 1940s, she taught Defense Against the Dark Arts. And before her retirement, she worked alongside Albus Dumbledore and Horace Slughorn, her former students after her retirement. Tom Riddle, another one of her pupils, was refused the chance to take her place. And so, you know, vengefully jinxed the post so no professor could hold the occupation for longer than a year. I still don't understand how that's possible. How do you jinx a job?
Hashtag petty.
Like, I just don't get it still.
What I don't know, there because he's Lord V.
You know?
Yeah. Like, did he, like, put, like, a curse on the room that
like
they
the office,
in?
The office? Yeah. The classroom? The quarters where
like, how
you
do you
live?
Do that?
Maybe yeah. You open up your teacher's manual and it's like, bah! Cursed. 1 year! You die! 1 year! Well, I guess you don't die. You just don't teach anymore after 1 year.
You could die. Snape did. No, wait.
No, not until
I mean, eventually.
Later. Do you True. Think he modified that?
Well...
He did only teach 1 year, but that was
because
he committed murder-ish.
Quirrell died.
Well, that's Harry Potter's fault as well.
I feel like that gif of Emma Watson where she like makes that face.
Oh yeah, and yeah, like... yeah.
Vinny, pull it up, the one where she it's actually Tiffany's face. I'm waiting for it.
Yes.
Oh yeah. That's a thing. They have that one in there, huh?
Yep.
Oh geez Louise. All right, where am I at? Okay. So that's Professor Mary thought. Retired.
Kid Sid the Squid said it's kind of intimidating to see Lord V is typing because Vinny changed his name in Discord to
yeah,
Lord V.
Yeah, nobody's saying anything wrong. Voldemort Day! It's Voldemort Day! Okay, so quote. So Voldemort went off to Borgin and Burks, and all the staff who had admired him said what a waste it was. That's not nice. A brilliant young wizard like that working in a shop. However, Voldemort was no mere assistant. Polite and handsome and clever, he was soon given particular jobs of the type that only exist in a place like Borgin and Burks, which specializes, as you know, Harry, in objects with unusual and powerful properties. Voldemort was sent to persuade people to part with their treasures for sale by partners. And he was, by all accounts, unusually gifted at doing this. And I want to go back to the part where he says, which specializes, as you know, Harry, in objects with unusual powerful properties. Did Hagrid tell him about getting him out of Nocturne Alley?
I'm sure.
You know what I mean? He's like, yeah. He's like, how did you know that Harry was over there?
Yeah.
For sure.
Skulking around Nocturne Alley. Dodgy place. So, yes.
All I got to eat is toenails.
I cannot. Oh. Okay. So now it's story time, and we hear from Hoki the House Elf, who was working for a very rich witch. Okay. By the name of Hepzibah Smith. And into the Pensieve we go, and he tumbles into silver. I'll do it for you. Liquid.
Sorry.
And he is in the living room with an old lady wearing an elaborate ginger wig and a brilliant pink set of robes that flowed all the way around her, which made her look like a melting iced cake. And she was getting ready for Tom by looking into a small jeweled mirror and dabbing rouge on her cheeks. And the tiniest, rouge. Oldest house elf.
Blah. Sorry. Yeah.
The oldest and tiniest house elf that Harry had ever seen was lacing up Hepzibah's feet into a pair of tight satin slippers. Wouldn't you fall? I hope you don't have hardwood floors, lady.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, an accident actually, waiting to happen.
Do they have grippies on the bottom?
Especially, I don't know.
Can you use like a grippy spell?
Dude, when Alana got to like the size of shoe she's wearing now in sock, there's no more grippies. And I got to tell you, it's dangerous out there. And I'm like, take your socks off. And you know what else amuses me? They'll put like grippies on like 3-month-old socks. I'm like, who 3-month-old needs grippies?
Right? That's like a solid when they question. Get to the walking age, that's when they need the grippies.
What is happening out here?
And as they try and navigate life, I need grippies.
I need grippies, but also sometimes I don't want them because I want to do the slide.
True. You know what I mean? Except, oh, have you ever done that? And then you like, it's like kind of an older flooring and you get a splinter in your sock.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The worst.
Yeah, I've had that happen to me.
The worst.
The worst. The worst. What are we talking about? Slippers.
I don't know.
Socks, grippies. So Hepzibah is telling Hoki to hurry because he's never late. And it's only a couple of minutes until he arrives. And so Hoki is wearing a crisp linen sheet that was draped over her like a toga. And that, to me, says that Hoki is a very well taken care of house elf. Like, this, yeah. This is not a Dobby situation. She seems to be cared for, and their relationship seems to be friendly. I will say that.
Yes.
So Hepzibah asks her, like, how do I look? And Hoki tells her that she looks lovely. And I hate this next paragraph. Like, I absolutely hate it. So I'm just going to read it from quote. Harry could only assume that it was down in Hoki's contract that she must lie through her teeth when asked this question, because Hepzibah Smith looked a long way from lovely in his opinion. Folks, can we not? And I believe that her description is unkind as well, and I think I just didn't write it in because I didn't feel like giving it any sort of attention.
'Tis true.
And it's the way, yeah, it's the way the author describes her and Slughorn.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it.
And Umbridge.
Like, we can,
and Vernon.
I understand that this was written at a different time, but we need to be doing better.
Right, yeah. And we need to call these things out so we can do better.
Right.
The author tends to do this a lot, and it's probably, I mean, in terms of her writing in the Harry Potter books, it's one of my biggest pet peeves.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Size,
yep.
Whether big or small, or mediums, which we have a range of, there's a large spectrum of people in this world. Your size does not equate your, for lack of a better term, good looks.
Yeah. Also,
or value.
Good looks, mm-hmm. quote, good looks, mm-hmm. are
subjective.
Subjective. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. So, like, just because one person doesn't view somebody as attractive doesn't mean that they are unattractive.
Yes.
It just means someone else is
not attracted to that, and that's fine.
Right. Yeah,
I'm sure there are people out there that don't think Martin O'Malley is hot, but let me tell you, he lights fires on a regular basis. You know what I'm saying? So like, let's not just
you.
Umbrella people, okay? Good
oh
looks
my God.
Are what yeah. your opinion are on good looks, and you don't get to tell anybody that somebody else is unattractive. So sit down, take several mm-hmm. seats. We will see you out. Okay, the doorbell rings. And both Hepzibah and Hoki jump at the sound.
Oh, you're done.
I'm done.
So Hepzibah says, quick, he's here, Hoki. And Hoki scurries out of the room. And the room is described as being so crammed with objects that it was difficult to see how anybody could navigate their way across it without knocking over at least a dozen things. This does make me think a little bit of like hoarders.
And she's wearing those slippy socks. What are you doing?
Right.
You're gonna break all your stuff.
I'm just saying. Girlfriend needs grippies on those. But you know what? We don't know that the grippies aren't there. Okay.
That's true. Okay. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that she's meant, I feel like what is meant to get across is that she is somewhat of a hoarder in a sense. I mean, I'm not saying to the point of like some of those houses on the show where there's like mice and stuff living in the house, but you know, like she is a very big collector. You know what I mean? Like uh-huh. She's got all the things.
Mm-hmm. And she likes to boast about all the things.
Correct. So it says cabinets full of little lacquered boxes, cases full of gold embossed books, shelves of orbs and celestial globes, and many flourishing potted plants in brass containers. Kind of reminds me of the Room of Requirement a bit. And also I want to say that this is hoarding to the level of like she's hoarding expensive things.
She has money. That's
correct.
Sure. Yeah.
Yes. This is not garbage that is lying around. This is like stuff. Like good quality.
Oh my God.
What?
It's not garbage. It's stuff.
I don't know how else to explain it. It's whatever. This is high quality H2O.
Oh, high quality stuff. My God.
High quality H2O.
Oh, gosh.
Gatorade is better.
Hokey. It really, really
is. Hokey returned with a tall young man who Harry immediately recognized as Voldemort, a.k.a. Tom Riddle at this time.
Lord V.
He was plainly dressed in a black suit. His hair was a little longer than it had been at school, and his cheeks were hollowed. But all of this suited him. He looked more handsome than ever.
Getting that mullet.
Again, subjective. Just saying.
True.
He bowed and kissed Hepzibah's hand, so he is charming the heck out of her, okay? He magics flowers and offers them to her, and she squeals and already had a vase ready, so clearly this is tradition when he comes and visits, is what I got from that.
That's sweet of him.
Isn't it? So Hokey comes back with a little tray, with a tray of little cakes, is what I meant to say. I put the little in the wrong spot. And she tells Tom to help himself, and Tom says, now, wait, hold on, no.
I want a little
cake. Hepzibah says, I know, I want a little tea cake. Like, that sounds so good.
Let's have a hostess. Where's those fancy cakes?
Oh, I cannot wait for the little Christmas trees to come out.
What flavor? Are those vanilla?
Yeah.
I like the vanilla ones. I don't like the chocolate ones. Zebra cakes are all right.
Zebra cakes are okay, but like
oatmeal cream pies.
But like the Christmas trees, Katie.
I mean, yes, fancy but I'm just talking cakes. About all the time snacks.
Do you know what? You know what beats it all, though? When they come out with the hearts at Valentine's Day time. Those are good.
Mm-hmm. Nothing says love like a little Dobby.
A Dobby?
A little Dobby. Get it, little Dobby. I get it. Okay.
Thank you, wife, for knowing my weirdness.
Over here, like...
Because my thing autocorrected to Debbie with Dobby, little Debbie. Oh, yeah.
Get with the program, Tiffany. Do you even podcast?
It was a whole episode, wasn't it?
Yep. So Hepzibah says, now, how are you? You look pale. They overwork you at that shop. I've said it 100 times. So again, this is us learning. They talk quite often. Okay. I am assuming that he sells and buys from her a lot for Borgin and Burke. And that is how this relationship goes. So his smile was mechanical, aka he knows how to act here to get what he wants. He comes into Hepzibah's house on a mission, you know, like he knows... he knows what he's capable of getting from her by being manipulative. He says to her, Mr. Brooke would like to make an improved offer for the goblin made armor. 500 galleons. He feels it is more than fair.
Armor.
Shamole.
Armor. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's some D&D stuff.
So she pouts at this because, like, he's just trying to get into business. And she's like, not so fast. Otherwise, I'll think that you're only here for the trinkets, you know? So he said, I am ordered here because of them. I am only a poor assistant, madam, who must do as he is told. Mr. Burke wishes me to inquire. So Hepzibah waves her little hand in the air and goes, oh, Mr. Burke, phooey. I've something to show you that I've never shown Mr. Burke. Can you keep a secret, Tom? Will you promise me you won't tell Mr. Burke I've got it? He'd never let me rest if he knew I'd shown it to you, and I'm not selling, not to Burke, not to anyone, but you, Tom. You'll appreciate it for its history, not how many galleons you can get for it. I'd be glad to see anything Miss Hepzibah shows me, said Voldemort quietly. And Hepzibah gave another girlish giggle. I had Hokey bring it out for me. Hokey, where are you? I want to show Mr. Riddle our finest treasure. In fact, bring both while you're at it. So she calls for Hokey, and Hokey comes and says, here, madame. And she goes, I think you'll like this, Tom. Oh, if my family knew I was showing you, they can't wait to get their hands on it. And she asks Tom if he knows what it is and offers him to pick it up. So Voldemort stretches out a long-fingered hand and lifts the cup by one handle out of its snug silken wrappings. And Harry thought he saw a red gleam in his dark eyes, and his expression was greedy. And it was curiously mirrored on Hepzibah's face, except that her tiny eyes were fixed upon Voldemort's handsome features. She's got a little crush.
Crush on Tommy.
So he murmurs, a badger. Then this was Voldemort. See, I pasted this. I'm dumb.
No,
you're not dumb.
You're not dumb.
But you know what? Get your filthy hands off my house's treasure. All right, Lord V, get out of here. You don't deserve to be even looking at that badger.
So
I like badgers.
I like turtles.
As Katie just revealed, that is Hufflepuff's cup. It was created by Helga Hufflepuff, one of the four founders of Hogwarts. It's a small golden cup with two finely wrought handles with a badger engraved on the side and a few jewels. The badger is the symbol of Hufflepuff House, and the cup was also the dubious, also has the dubious distinction of being the only object known to have been stolen from a vault at Gringotts. Yes, Tiffany.
So the cup actually does have powers. We just don't know what they were.
Yes.
And now it doesn't because it's destroyed.
I'll tell you what it does. If you hold it in your hands.
Yeah.
You think about the snack you want.
Yeah.
Boom.
Snack City. Unending yep. snack.
Unending snacks.
I was thinking that too.
I would love to find out what it did.
I know.
But
I bet the author has it in her little head there.
I'm sure.
And won't tell us.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that voice, Alana, makes me do it when we have tea parties. And it's like literally the worst accent. And so we started watching Rings of Power the other day. And I started doing it. And I swear to you, I thought Marty was going to just like kick the TV in. Because I wouldn't stop. God. And then he was like, I don't know, he was fixing something and he's like, I have a method. And I was like, oh, you have a method, do you? And he was like, get out of the kitchen.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
For you.
Okay, so can we talk about the fact that the cup is literally never talked about in the Half-Blood Prince movie, and Harry has no idea it's a Horcrux? Am I right here? He knows that it's meant to be something of Hufflepuff and something of Ravenclaw, but literally does not know what the items are in the film. And that drives me bonkers.
Is that right?
So, like, I'm pretty sure. Because we don't see this memory
That's right, because when they go in the vault in the movie,
oh yeah,
he just like knows using it his of the feel.
Yeah, he's using like his Horcrux buddy,
his
powers.
Horcrux Spidey sense.
Yeah,
Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
Tony's face.
Nail it down to me, baby.
Ship me some Coke.
Can I buy you a Disney Coke on the next trip?
Yes.
Okay.
We need to keep a tally of this. That's all, we always say that.
There's a lot of Disney Cokes.
So yeah, like I'm like 95% sure he does not know that it's the cup. In the movies, but like clearly he does. So like I feel like I'm so inundated with the movie stuff just because like they're so much easier to take in faster, you know, so like I just watched them so often. But like
I'm so annoyed by that because like so yeah. In my mind I'm hearing him say it's a little golden cup with two handles and a badger on it because that's what the book says.
Yeah,
he obviously knows that's it.
He has no freaking clue.
Like, why are we doing this?
Right.
I cannot, like, all right, move on. I'm not going to talk
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. So he just senses something and thinks something from Hufflepuff, but has no idea the cup itself exists, which seems so silly to leave this out. But what do I know? So while she was putting the cup away, a shadow crossed Voldemort's face as the cup was taken away, and Hepzibah doesn't really notice. But the elf obediently took the boxed cup, and Hepzibah turned her attention to the much flatter box in her lap.
I like how you spelled Hepzibah's name in that one time.
Listen.
Hepzibah. That's a tough name to type and to say.
Yes.
Thank you, Mia. Mia confirmed that I am correct. The cup is not mentioned or seen in movie 6.
I hate that for us.
Yep.
They were too busy showing the teenage feels and blah, 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 blah.
It which, is like, a is good movie.
I know.
Like, I do like the movie, but like they, who said it in here? Megan with an H says the movie did the Horcruxes dirty, which is like so true.
Bree said they were too busy with swamp fires, which is also
true. Also accurate.
Yep.
When my mom read these for the first time, what was that, like last year, right?
Yeah
a year or two ago. Yeah,
two years, I think.
Yeah. I know that we lived down here. So anyway, her mind was like blown by the Marauders and the Horcruxes because she'd seen all the movies, but like literally didn't understand any of that and was like, oh, my God, there's so much more. I'm like, yes, I know.
Mm-hmm. Like onion layers more. OK, so much. Yeah.
Genuinely, my mom and dad both kind of lost interest in the movies after movie 3 because they just didn't make sense to them. Because like genuinely, I feel like you had to read them to truly understand like what's going on.
You have to read them or have a nerd like one of us being like, okay, so here's what you're missing.
Right. And like, I would always get so annoyed when my mom would ask me questions during movies. So
that's such a sad tweet. I feel bad for just like people who only do the movies.
And like, sometimes that's the type of content that people can only take in. So like the fact that they did those movies so dirty is just like,
well, that's what happens when you take a book and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Katie, I talked about Hufflepuff's cup, so now you get to talk about Slytherin.
That's weird.
I know.
I like it, though. Okay. So then she says, I think you'll like this even more, Tom. She clearly really likes showing her stuff off.
She also clearly really likes Tom.
Clearly would love to keep Tom as a treasure, too.
Tiffany, do your growl.
So she tells him, or she tells him she thinks that he'll like this next thing more, and Burke knows she has it because she bought it from him, and she knows that he would love to get it back when she's gone.
I wonder what she paid.
Right,
a lot.
She does
more.
Say like an arm and a leg. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, and he bought it from
nothing.
Merope for what? Like nothing.
10. Yeah.
What was it? 10.
I think it was 10 galleons, yeah.
Yeah.
Redonkulous.
So inside this fancy little box was a heavy golden locket. So Voldemort doesn't wait this time for an invitation, like with the cup, and he just reaches for it and he says Slytherin's mark, and Harry notices like the light play on it, and you can see this very ornate serpentine S, which I think they did this I think they did all the Horcruxes very well, but I particularly like this one.
I love the design of the locket a lot. I has it.
I have it too.
Yeah, I like that one. I really want the diadem. Yeah.
Wow, guys, just buying dark artifacts.
Well, you know.
I'm a Slytherin.
We have the cup too.
We do.
The cup.
The sword is the most expensive.
Is it more than the diadem?
I don't know.
They're probably similar.
Those are the heavy hitters.
I want someday my office will have all my little trinkets like Hepzibah's house, and I'm going to have Sword of Gryffindor next to the Master Sword. It's going to be awesome.
Nice.
Love that.
So are you going to collect all the Horcruxes? And if you are you going to have a cardboard cutout of Harry Potter?
Yes to all.
I guess you could just like get his glasses.
I think that those you, already. She did, yeah.
There you go. Never mind, you're on your way.
I know. I do need that diadem, though. That's a pretty penny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you got the Nagini to signify that one, right? The statue creature.
Yeah, the little in the box, yeah.
Tiffany, why are you so cool?
I don't know.
It just comes natural. I don't know.
It's natural.
So from the book, he says Slytherin's mark. And she says, that's right, said Hepzibah. Oh, my God.
You got
Hepzibah.
It.
Delighted, apparently, at the sight of Voldemort gazing at her locket, transfixed. I had to pay an arm and a leg for it, but I couldn't let it pass. Not a real treasure like that. Had to have it for my collection. Burke bought it, apparently, from a ragged-looking woman who seemed to have stolen it, but had no idea of its true value. So like we said, this is Voldemort's mother. Do you think he knows that at this point in time? Do you think he knows that this person she's describing... Like, does he know how this locket came to be here? I don't know.
Maybe he does, since he already killed, who's it? What's it? No, framed him.
Morphin?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder.
Because he told her, because he told Tom that he took off with it. Or she took off with it, with the muggle.
Do you think that he got a job at Borgin and Burke's to get to Hepzibah to get this item?
I would, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't put it past him. He would know. He would know who Burke sold it to. That would be in the records of the shop.
Yeah.
Now,
That's why he's such a charmer with her.
But, like, how did he know that it was even in the shop to begin with?
Probably just a hunch. Like, oh, it's an item that could have gone through a shop like this. Let me check the records. It's, like, worth my time to check, you know?
Maybe. Dumbledore mentions that he went to the shop so he could find out objects like that.
Yeah, he might actually say that. Later at some point.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. So Harry notes that there's no mistaking, as Voldemort's holding this locket, that there's this flash of scarlet in his eyes. And
Scarlet.
And he notices that, like, his knuckles whiten on the chain. So, like...
Ooh, that's a tight grip.
He's been either... waiting to see this, or he's just very excited that it's there, or both.
Both.
We call this precious
mode. Yes. So she says that she bets Burke paid this ragged looking woman a pittance for it, and I had to look that up because I kind of assumed what it meant, but I just wanted to know.
Yeah.
Definition is very small or inadequate amount of money paid to someone as an allowance or wage. So yes. Absolutely true. He paid her nothing in comparison to its actual value. And she says that this also has all kinds of powers attributed to it. I don't think we find out actually what those are. Wouldn't it be cool if you like put that on, then you could speak Parcel Tongue? Like, not it being a Horcrux, just like it having power.
Interesting.
That'd be cool.
Does it say at all if we know anything in the wiki? I'm looking it up.
Thank you. So she reaches to take it back, and Harry thinks for a moment Voldemort's not going to let it go. But he does, and then the locket's put away. And Hepzibah tells him that she's like, well, I hope you enjoyed that. And she finally looks him full in the face for the first time, and her smile kind of slips and falters. And she's like, are you okay? And for Voldemort to be faltering on his control over his usual, like, ease and charm, like, we know he's a natural manipulator. So for him to be shaken, even just because he's just so excited to have found this item and like he knows it's going to be his, like that's saying something about how momentous of a moment, monumental of a moment this is. Shut up, Tiffany. It's momentous.
A momentous moment.
Yeah. But so she's like, hey, are you okay? Because she kind of notices he looks a little deranged, I'm sure.
You look murderous. Are you all right?
You look like you might kill me in 2 days. I'm a little scared.
Truly.
So she's looking unnerved, and she's like, yeah, maybe it was just the trick of the light. And she kind of like lets it go. And she tells Hoki to lock the treasures up again with their usual enchantments. And we find out later that like she really locks this stuff down. I don't blame her. Because she's mentioned multiple times that like her family and other collectors, like they're all just waiting for her to croak so they can get her treasures. Croak. Pretty much. Yeah. So Dumbledore tells Harry it's time to leave. They return back to his office. And a little bit from the book. Hepzibah Smith died 2 days after that little scene, said Dumbledore. Hoki the house elf was convicted by the ministry of poisoning her mistress's evening cocoa by accident. No way, said Harry angrily. I see we are of one mind, said Dumbledore. Certainly there are many similarities between this death and that of the Riddles. In both cases, somebody else took the blame, someone who had a clear memory of having caused the death. Hoki confessed. So Hoki remembers, apparently, putting something in the cocoa that turned out not to be sugar, but some kind of poison. And it was just concluded that she hadn't meant to do it. She was just old and confused. Oh, well. And Harry works out that Voldemort also modified her memory just like he had with Morphin. And also similar to Morphin, the ministry was just like, well,
that checks.
We don't. Yeah.
This tracks.
That tracks on brand, whatever. You know, Morphin is this deranged. What would you call him? Because he did like almost squib, but not. You know, Someone from poverty. And here's Hoki, who's a house elf. So no one looks further into it because in the ministry's eyes, they don't care. Yeah. And Harry mentions that he has rarely felt more sympathy for SPEW. Which, good for you, Harry. We should have some sympathy for the little guys.
Mia said the ministry pinning a murder on an inferior species. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it sounds
like the ministry to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not cool.
Mm-hmm. And Hoki did admit to tampering with the drink. She was old. Nobody at the ministry bothered to look any further. So by the time that Dumbledore had traced her and managed to get this memory from her, I wonder how he got a lot of these memories, but you know, we don't know that part. We need like that whole actual life and lies of Albus Dumbledore. Her life was almost over. That was the same with Morphin, so like there was nothing he could really do to like clear their names. But her memory proves nothing more than Voldemort knew of the existence of the cup and the locket. It doesn't mean that he stole them, even though he did. So I'll finish off with just from the book. So Dumbledore talking. By the time Hoki was convicted, Hepzibah's family had realized that two of her greatest treasures were missing. It took them a while to be sure of this, for she had many hiding places, having always guarded her collection most jealously. But before they were sure beyond doubt that the cup and the locket were both gone, the assistant who had worked at Borgen and Burke's, the young man who had visited Hepzibah so regularly and charmed her so well, had resigned his post and vanished. His superiors had no idea where he had gone. They were as surprised as anyone at his disappearance. And that was the last that was seen or heard of Tom Riddle for a very long time. Mm. I believe when he comes back, like, at least when we see him later, he's like almost unrecognizable, right? Because he's like doing all these weird things and turning into Voldy bits pretty much.
All I hear is Jafar in my head being like, how snake like I can be. Oh, okay.
Oh, Aladdin.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that Aladdin and Jasmine and the magic carpet are the icons for the new Disney cruise ship?
I didn't see that. No, that's awesome.
Yep.
The treasure.
The treasure.
Very
yeah.
fitting
treasure.
For this chapter.
Okay.
Me out.
Lightning bolt round.
Give me questions.
Kim asks, do you think Voldemort is using magic to charm Hepzibah? The way he acts with her in this memory doesn't seem very charming. I think to her it's charming.
I think he's laid a lot of groundwork.
Yeah.
I think, Katie, I agree with you 100%. And I think that by the time he gets to this, this is like, obviously it's the end. This is what he's been working towards. And he's finally saw what he wanted. But I don't think that Tom Riddle needed magic to charm people.
Yeah.
It's just one of those dudes.
Vinny says, Lord V cursing the Defense Against the Dark Arts position and the unbreakable vow Snape did were oddly in sync. The Defense Against the Dark Arts jinx made sure that Snape would have to leave Hogwarts at the end of the year, and the unbreakable vow requiring that he helps Draco in killing Dumbledore reinforced it.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
No, I mean, that's a puzzle piece very well matched up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to match that in there.
I don't know if, like, I don't know. I was going to say, do you think that Snape felt okay doing that unbreakable vow because not only did he know that, like, he would be cursed going into that position, or I guess the position is what's cursed, not the person, right? So, like, that doesn't make sense. Never mind.
Because, like, I mean, if we think about it, so Quirrell is unalived.
Lockhart is obliterated.
Well, he does that to himself.
Not obliterated, obliviated.
I didn't even catch it.
His memories are obliterated.
Like, what happened with Lupin, I mean, he was already aware of going in, and that all why he left was because of Snape. Because he went and, you know, told every single person.
Wow, you're a great person.
Yeah. For, obviously, not even the person they said they were. Judy! 5. Terribleness.
Oh, Judy.
So it's like...
Oh, Judy.
Those people have unfortunate circumstances already, like, going in. Minus... Well, I guess... Lockhart was just a piece of garbage anyways, but just saying.
Oh, Lockhart.
But no, like Dumbledore says, by happy accident.
Yeah.
AKA author's writing.
Addie asks, what is the most random thing that you think Hepzibah has stashed in her house?
Old Werther's.
I love Werther's.
I like Werther's too. I'm just saying. I think that maybe she forgot about them and they're in some gold thing somewhere. Maybe.
Jelly fruit slices.
Ugh.
Why are we all on candy?
It's just what old people have in their house.
Hmm.
magazines.
Yeah. Which weeklies? What?
Did you see the eye wiggle? Magazines.
Yeah, Megan with H said 1989 Taylor Swift final, which I thought was funny.
Tins of shortbread cookies, but what's actually in the tins? Because it's not
sewing
the cookies.
Materials.
It's sewing stuff.
Yeah, it's always sewing stuff.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I'm just gonna, there's a lot, but I'm just gonna pick one more just because we are running a little bit late today. Morgan asks, out of all the characters we meet in the memories, who do you have the most sympathy for? Kind of think Hokey. I feel for Hokey because, like, that's just a clear setup. And, like, Hokey clearly cares a lot about Hepzibah, I think.
Yeah. Well, the little kids.
Yeah.
In the orphanage.
Basically everybody that
was on the receiving end of Tom's terribleness.
Yeah.
I mean,
I do really.
As cruddy as Morphin was, I mean, obviously doesn't deserve that.
I guess it does have to be the orphans. That's so bad. That is so bad.
Many people are saying Merope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, very true. I guess the real answer is everybody except Tom.
Accurate.
Oh, not funny. Yeah. Did anybody get to bingo?
I didn't see any.
I don't think so. So that means that the House Cup standings are Ravenclaw with 590 right now. Hufflepuff has 390, Slytherin has 335, and Gryffindor has 240. And don't forget, these points are going to accumulate all term. You can come and join your house at any time throughout the term to help them out and give them some more points.
Come on, Gryffindors. Let's go.
Man, Ravenclaw's knocking it out of the park.
Seriously.
Fan story time.
Okay. Fan story time. This fan story comes from Shelby, all the way from December of 2018. Goodness.
Wow.
I know.
That, like, doesn't feel long ago, but it does.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a whole different world.
Ugh, man.
A whole different world.
Mm-hmm.
Shelby says, "Hi, ladies. I've been listening to the podcast for a while now and decided it was time to share my Potter story. It's a bit long. Sorry in advance. Shelby, do not apologize for your words. To start off, I'm Shelby, and I'm a proud Gryffindor Thunderbird. My Patronus is a wolf, so amazing. That is amazing. And my wand is rowan wood with unicorn hair, 10 inches, and supple flexibility. I started reading the books in fourth grade in an attempt to beat another girl in my grade at AR points. AR points was a system our district had where you read a book, take a test, and you earn points. The longer or harder a book is, the more points you get. I totally did that. This is me, Katie, speaking, and I would do it to get personal pan pizzas from Pizza Hut. Oh, yeah.
I love Book It.
Yep.
Freaking love Book It.
Mm-hmm. Accelerated reader. So, of course, Goblet of Fire was the biggest book out at that point and was worth the most points. I didn't beat her, but it was worth it because I'm still a fan to this day. I had an abusive parent growing up, and lucky for me, they had the books. So whenever my world was exploding around me, I got to dive into another world and read about characters who faced the same situations as I did and came out a hero, like Harry, Sirius, and even Dobby. I also got to read about characters who faced abuse and manipulation and gave in to the pressure, like Draco. I made the decision at the age of nine to not let this environment scar me, to let it make me stronger, more compassionate for others, and to help as many people as I can in my life. I knew one day I would get my sock and become a free elf like Dobby. Mm. I had hope, and I got my wish. My dad got custody of me and my brothers and married a woman who loves us like her own, much like Molly Weasley did for Harry. I have a big, loving family, and I'm working towards getting into a police academy here in Texas to fulfill my fourth grade promise to myself to make a positive difference in this world. All is well." Aww. This podcast is the best way to start my week, and I actually look forward to Mondays where I can sit in my cubicle with coffee and listen to the newest episode. When I got older, I felt slightly embarrassed about my love for Harry Potter, and since my friends weren't into it, I felt like I needed to let it go and put that part of my childhood behind me, but I never could. The group has taught me to not be ashamed and see how much this fandom has helped other people through difficult periods, and I can relate to so many of you. This world the author created helped me through the most chaotic part of my life and gave me an escape I desperately needed, and now it's a reminder that I can make it through anything and to cherish the people in my life now. Without characters to learn from and look up to, I doubt I would have become the person I am today. Keep up the wonderful work, ladies. You are awesome. Shelby, you are awesome.
Yeah, you are awesome. Thank you.
Seriously,
thank you so much for your story.
Yeah. I am sorry that that happened to you at all. No one deserves that. And I'm so glad that you have what seems like an amazing support system. I love that you draw so many connections to yourself, to the series. And like, it's so true that you, all it takes is one character where you're like, whoa, like, I see myself there. And just that little bit of strength can get you through anything. So thank you. I'm glad it was there for you and is there for you and that you're a part of our community.
Yes.
Who wants a lay joke?
Me.
Did you pick one ahead of time?
I picked one about 5 minutes ago.
So yes, the answer is yes.
Technically, yes.
Before this moment.
All right. Nearly headless Nick nearly lost his head. It was a terrible accident.
Oh.
Oh, Katie.
Good times.
Make sure that you follow your hosts on social media if you would like to. No pressure, but you know, here we are. Myself and Katie are on Instagram at TikTok at the Petrus Family, and Tiffany is on Instagram and TikTok at TiffSwish_Flick.
Hi, friends. It's me. I guess technically it has been a super long time since you've heard me because I was just on for the Kent thing.
Kent. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
And that wasn't on the Discord.
Correct.
True.
But, I wanted to be the one to, like, come on and, like, let everyone know, like, what my future is. Well, not really, but kind of.
Are you a seer, Sarah?
I am not. But I, like, came to a decision, and after however many years we've been doing this, I am not going to be podcasting anymore. And I wanted you guys to hear it from me and not anybody else that I've decided to that... I've come to that conclusion. But it's been a good run. I have enjoyed doing it. I love meeting everyone. It's just, it's time for me to essentially put down my proverbial mic. That sounds really funny. And just be done for a while. So you're in good hands. They'll continue talking about Harry Potter and you'll enjoy it. But thank you for the, I don't know, how many years have we been doing this? 5 years almost? Yeah. Or over 5 years?
Over five years.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been a good time. I've had a lot of good laughs. and I appreciate everybody. So don't stop listening to them just because I'm not on. I know I'm the best part of it. But you'll be in good hands and they'll still talk about all the things that you love. So
yes.
I just wanted everyone to hear it from me and not from someone else that I won't be here anymore. But I still love y'all. So don't forget that.
Well, you know.
Sarah, you're always a part of Swish.
Yeah. It's still the four of us. I'm going to get like a cutout and I'll just keep you here and I'll just say Sarah things like, that's Bob Shorts. But honestly, like, your mic is always on for us. So.
Hopefully not, because that's scary of the things that I say.
No.
They're not really Tiffany-approved Harry Potter talk, so.
That's okay. We can edit some stuff out. No, but you're always, you know, pop in. You ever feel like having a fun night with us. And we Truly. Love you.
Thanks. Yes.
We love you.
Thanks. Can Florence say bye?
I don't know. I do, before I go, I do want to say, because we just went on that trip, that it was a really, really good trip, and I enjoyed meeting everybody that we met. It was a really good time. And thanks to, especially the people in Vancouver, because I was on not a manhunt.
I said that too earlier. I was like,
I was determined first to go to Indigo, the bookstore. Mm-hmm. And then also, one of our listeners who owns like a small business in Toronto, I believe, which you talked about on here, and I know I've talked about it on my own personal Instagram, Fran Collective. Hopefully I'm saying that right. Her stuff's now like in, well, of course, me being from Ohio, I was like, we have to go to Hudson's Bay. They're like, the Bay. And I was like, I don't know. It's called Hudson's Bay. Like, it's called the Bay. I was like, cool. So I literally, like, we went there, and of course the escalator's broken. And so, like, we had to go on like a hunt for these, but we finally found them, and I was very excited. I haven't posted it to my Instagram story yet, but I will. But so thank you to everybody that I met. We had a great time. Thanks for spending hours in a bookstore with me. Collectively, I think in the two meetups, we spent 5 hours in a bookstore.
Yeah.
Which doesn't, it's not the worst time to, worst way to spend my time.
Five hours.
Very true. Jeez.
5 hours.
That's a lot of
hours. We hung out in those bookstores for a long time.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
Because we did City Lights in San Fran, the Elliott Bay one in...
Oh, I didn't even count San Francisco, so 6 hours. Yeah.
Right.
Forgot to, yeah.
The Elliott Bay one in Seattle, and then, like, yeah, we went to Indigo in Vancouver.
Yeah, so. Plus, 6+ hours in bookstores with our listeners, which was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
It was super fun.
Yeah. I don't know, like, if Florence will come out. You know her. She, like, it makes me sound crazy, but, like, she has her own...
If she's feeling it, will Tarriet come say goodbye to Florence?
Well, you never know. Harriet, Tarriet, what are the names, you know?
Florence, I'll miss you.
You always knew that I thought Harry Potter was garbage, and I was just waiting for the day that Sarah was going to say F to all of y'all. And say, this podcast truly is garbage, all right? And I'm just done.
And I'm leaving. Good boy.
What if that was like my real thought? I hate everything. It's the worst. Secretly, I'm never talking to any of them again. I'm just going to pass notes to Alana through Marty. James can't read yet. Not that Alana can't either, but
he just
gives me strange looks.
Yes.
At least, like, Alana will laugh with me.
This is the person you chose as my godmother.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, James. I really am. Oh, my God. What am I looking at?
Vinny, that is atrocious.
Oh, my God. It's us.
Oh, sweet Lord.
It took me a really long time to realize that that was actually... Oh, my God.
Oh. All the good ones. All the good ones.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, now what? I feel like this is the end of Finding Nemo, and we're just sitting in the water in our baggies.
Like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Now?
Somewhere under the sea.
That's not how the song goes, Tiffany.
Yeah. Oh, not under the sea. What the heck?
Correct.
Yeah, Mia says we could all still do a "What Are You Up To" to finish it off.
Me not podcasting.
Hey!
Oh my God!
Free time. Oh, what do? I start. Okay, lots of big news in my life. We finally have a title and a date for the sequel to Breath of the Wild. Did I cry? Yes. Am I ashamed of myself? No. Okay, I am so. Freaking excited. Tears of the Kingdom. I believe it's May 23rd. don't talk to me for a week because I will not talk to you.
I'm going to get the game before you, and I'm going to finish it before you, and I'm going to spoil everything.
I hate you so much. No, I'm so excited. So excited.
Are you, it's May 12th, so excited? Tiffany. You got it wrong.
Is it?
Yeah, I know that it was before my birthday.
I thought it said the 23rd.
Vinny said it's May 12th.
What's the 23rd? What did I see
the
today?
The year?
2023.
Maybe that's what I saw. I'm fine. Even better. Comes wild. Out sooner. Truly membrane. So I'm excited about that. I'm still working my way through Wings and Ruin, which I...
Oh, what's that?
It's a little smutty fae book. And...
Oh, my God.
No, I love all the things. I'm highlighting a lot of things. It's making me really excited.
You highlight your books? Tisk, tisk.
It's a Kindle book.
I'm just making fun of you. We all know I write in mine, so...
You do. And
not all of them. Only certain copies.
That's true. Sarah lovingly gave me her extra.
I wouldn't say lovingly. I made you pay me for it.
Yeah, but it was in lovingness that you gave it to me. Yeah. Silver Flames paperback, which it's very pretty. I'm excited to have that. I also started Salem's Lot, so I've been through a smidge of that. It's pretty good. I also started watching a lot of things on Netflix. Can you tell I have anxiety? I'm very ADHD, been bouncing around of things, undiagnosed, but like I can't focus on anything. I started The Devil Is in Ohio. I started The Crown. I started another like documentary about basically this NBA ref cheating and betting on games and rigging games.
Have you ever watched The Crown before?
No.
Or is this a first time?
I don't want to spoil anything for you, but they're both dead.
The Crown really is very good. I really
like
it
so far. Like, I really like it so far.
What's the Devil in Ohio thing? Is that a documentary?
My mom started watching that today.
It's not a documentary. It's like a spooky.
Who's in it?
Who's the main chick from Bones?
It's Zooey Deschanel's sister.
Okay.
Is the girl?
Emily Deschanel. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. She's from Bones.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're sisters.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a newer show.
Yeah, your mom actually watched it
already.
I
didn't know that they had a show about my family. No, I'm kidding.
It's really funny because, like, in the first episode, they go real hard Ohio, and they're like, Browns are playing on Sunday. I'm applying to Ohio State. And I'm like, yeah, Ohio, the devil. Oh. It's awkward. Anyways, I think I'm done.
That's it? That's all you've got going on?
I don't even know anything that I really said other than... Zelda.
No, I'm kidding. That was a lot. What?
That was a lot. Tiffany, you should have stopped talking 5 minutes ago.
That's not what I meant.
I just want you all to know that when Megan's with Katie, she truly feels alone.
Oh my God. I heard about this.
Oh my God.
I heard about this.
Oh, Meg, now you have to tell a story.
It'll never not be funny. It'll never not be funny.
No.
We were talking, okay, so we had lots of driving days on our trip across the Pacific Northwest, and we were just chit-chatting, and Sarah said something like, I can't believe that you're, like, never alone.
No, I didn't say it like that. I said, I think I was saying, like, I just need, like, I'm the type of person, like, I need some alone time. Like, I cannot be with people, like, 24-7. And Megan was like, well, I'm always, like, Katie and I are always together. And I must have said something. And then her response was, Katie was the one that repeated it the best way of how Megan truly said it.
She said it like she had like this sweet tone in her voice.
Yeah. What I was trying to say, that's why.
She's like, but, like, when we're together... I do feel alone.
And when I tell you, I almost had to stop the car. I was laughing so hard. I was crying. I'm not exaggerating. We're in the middle of nowhere. Winding roads.
I meant like we live. Like, I feel like, you know, like whenever you find that somebody and you can have that just like comfortable silence. That's what I meant.
There was like literally a silence and then we were dying laughing.
I love when we get in those slap happy moods. Like when you told that guy at Disney, like, does this nice man know that I don't live here? And we couldn't stop laughing about it. Those are some of my favorites.
Sarah also got to witness me this week literally yell on the phone at the lady at my apartment complex.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was good times.
There's a lot of things I unfortunately witnessed that I won't repeat.
Oh my God.
I'll never be the same again.
Oh my God. So yeah, we good went times. On our trip. It was a great time. We talked about it at the beginning of the episode, but I bought a lot of books. I'm super excited to read. After we're done with this, I want to finish by the book tonight. Do you think I can do it? I don't know. We'll see.
How much what time?
Book? The book by the book.
Oh.
It's like a Beauty and the Beast spinoff. It's cute. I really like it, but.
How many pages anyway, is it?
It's not that many. I don't know. I didn't look, but it's. I've read bigger books in a day, so I should be able to read half of this. I've got like half left. I should be able to. So. Anyway, yeah. I also got 3 more books in the mail today, so.
I can't laugh at you. I got 3 in the mail Sunday when I came home. Like, there were 3 waiting for me. Plus, I bought another one yesterday.
What's the total?
Of books I bought, like, for the trip?
Gone, yes, both of you.
Wait, are we counting the ones? All the ones that I got in the mail while I was gone were all pre-ordered. I don't think those should count.
No, those don't count.
Okay, well, so we're mine.
Okay, well,
that's fine. I agree they shouldn't count if you pre-ordered them.
Give me your total from the trip.
I honestly don't know yet, but I will tell you whenever I count them.
Well, then I will hold off my count until Megan says, because she'll make sure that it's less than mine.
We definitely bought more.
100%. I had to bring some of those. But there's also 2.
You don't even know the number?
No.
I counted how many books I bought. And 3 of the ones I bought were not
Sarah,
for me.
Sarah, text me.
I bought 7 books at Powell's.
Okay.
That's a lot of books.
Well, one of them was mine.
But one of them was Katie's and 2 of them were gifts. And one of them was like a collector's edition of Harry Potter. So like, does that count?
Yes, it still counts.
What?
But like, do the gift books count?
Yes.
It's up to you. You let me know. I personally bought 3 books for other people.
I think that's pretty much about what I did. I got my dad one, I got my mom one, and I got, well, I got Tiffany one and Alana and James one. So.
And Evie.
Oh, and I got Evie a book. So if we count those, we're already up to 12.
All right, hurry it up. Tell me what else.
I'm done, Katie. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm in love with the Pacific Northwest. I really am.
Literally.
You almost sounded like Buddy the Elf. I'm in love and I'm love and I don't care who knows it.
That's so accurate.
Literally, Katie, were we in Washington or Vancouver or something? And Megan's like, you're sending me apartment listings?
She was on Zillow so much on that trip, just like sending me. She's like, look at this one. Look at this one. And then I was texting my other friend who, like, he had friends who lived out in Portland for a long time. And I texted him and was like, why did they leave? And he's like, you think the cost of living in Florida is bad? Just look at Portland. And I was like, yeah, I did. It's like the same. Okay.
It was like just some of the views we saw were literally like tear inducing. It was just beautiful, and
I just can't
I have not ever breathed that much straight oxygen in my life, I don't
Except
think.
Except whenever there were fires.
Right. But, like, when we were going through, like, what was that? What was it called? Wasn't it, like, Crescent Lake? Yeah.
I think it's called Olympia
Crescent Lake
Park.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That, too. Like, oh my God.
I literally was, like, crying almost. It was so beautiful. And, like, the thing is, like, those pictures cannot do it justice.
Nope.
I know.
Like, oh, not at all. It was beautiful.
Like, I remember, I was like, do you guys mind if I roll on the windows? Because, like, I need to smell outside. And they were like, okay. And then, like, the rest of the trip, we were like, we're riding with our windows down as long as we could until it got cold. Mm-hmm. Which wasn't very often because it was a really hot trip, actually. But, yeah, it was amazing. I love it. Portland for life, man. Other than that, I'm still running. Just running and running. Call me Forrest Gump.
That's why I kept running. I think I'll go home now.
Yep. That's pretty much it. I can't think of anything. I haven't finished. Oh, I started a new Christina Lauren book. I'm reading Love and Other Words.
Shouldn't you be reading something else? Like Throne of Glass?
A little break, okay?
No.
It's cheap.
Sometimes you need a palate cleanser from fantasy.
It's so intimidating.
I had to do that throughout Throne of Glass. I would like
Throne of Glass
read
is like
one.
1,000 books long.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there was a new Christina Lauren announcement today. I'm so excited for Fizzy's book. Woo!
I can be excited about this because I
comes
read
out
it
on my birthday. So excited. Anyway,
that's it. Sarah, what are you doing?
What am I doing? I guess I also am reading. The trip was a really good time. I did buy some books that I'm excited to like read. Lot of them are nonfiction. I will tell you right now, because I know that you bought more than me, because you said with all of the books that you bought at Powell's and the ones you got for gifts, you bought 12. I bought 12 and 3 of those were gifts. So I have 9 coming back into my homestead that will be on my shelves. So yeah. I don't know really what I bought. I bought some like heavy nonfiction ones. Really about like women and gender studies kinds of things ish. And then some like YA, like first books of like series that I want to start reading. But like I said, meeting everyone was really fun. Driving was really fun.
Canceling our flight was like the best decision ever.
Yeah. Cause I didn't have to sit in an aisle seat
or just like sit in an airport instead of like taking beautiful views of Oregon.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And had I like really thought about it, like we could have totally driven the entire coast, but we didn't.
Yeah.
So.
It's okay.
I literally read to Megan and Katie in the car.
I'm not surprised.
It was a good time. It helped me stay awake. Yeah. I got invested.
Then I read to them in the car and then continued to read them. So they'll have to like get the books themselves. I don't even remember what they were called.
Puck Boy.
Yeah. They were hockey. They were like hockey romances.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was actually really good.
They were good books. They're like MM romances, and they're like very low angst, which I can appreciate. And like a nice, there's not a lot of drama that happens. The first one was Egotistical Puck Boy.
Okay.
And it's about Oh, yeah. Is that like that one is like enemies to lovers kinds of thing, and then the second one is best friend, like friends to lovers, which were both really good. And that one's called Irresponsible Puck Boy. So I read that. I read some other very spicy reads that I won't say on here because they're not suitable for children. But literally, all I've been doing is reading and working. I've read 76 books this year so far.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of one that's like, woo. And I'm probably going to, since I got my paperback of Silver Flames, reread that again, which would be my second reread of the year of that book.
Welcome to me in 7, baby.
I just love Cassian a lot.
I'm still I'm listening to Seven again. How many times have I listened to it this year? This has got to be my third.
It's a comfort read. I get it.
You should read it 7 times every year.
Oh my God.
It's a lot.
You probably could.
Probably.
But any whoosies. My DMs are always open if you have book recommendations. I have an endless TBR, but there's always room. Just like there's like a second stomach for dessert, there's a second TBR.
Just I get it.
The limit does not exist.
Yeah.
So true.
Oh my goodness.
But literally, I can't think of anything else I'm doing. I got a new tattoo in San Francisco.
It's very pretty.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Thanks. I went all by myself. I was very anxious, but I did it.
I'm very proud of you. That's a big deal. Thanks.
For real.
It's a huge deal.
I literally was texting Jen. I'm like, I don't want to go. She's like, just go. And then I did. And it didn't hurt at all, which is bad in the sense that now I just want more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I was geared up because the internet was like, it really hurts in that spot. It's like right above my like elbow crease, like on my inner arm, so like lower bicep. And the internet's like, that's really painful. I'm like, I should just believe, but not believe anything the internet says. Because half the time the internet says like, this book's really spicy, and it's not. It's like fade to black, you know? So I just got to stop believing the internet.
Yeah. You genuinely don't believe the internet. All right. Well, this one's for you, Sasa. This one's for Thanks. You.
It is.
For Sasa.
For Sasa. For Sasa. Should we pour one out?
Oh, my God.
I'm not dying. Today, at least.
You're dead to me. All right. That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening. And don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just my voice!
Just kidding, you're not dead to me.
I'm just kidding.
Jenny said sips for sadness. What do house ghosts like to chew? Booble gum. But that's
one that's cute.
Booble gum.
Booble gum. Since we're, we're in spooky season.
I clicked on click.
Tiffany's like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know.
You're going to like the way you look, I guarantee it.
Shut your freaking face.
Every time I hear I guarantee it, I think of Men's Warehouse.
Oh my God.
I guarantee it.
Bye, Swishers.